Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Let's all stand and open up your Bibles to Jude. And we're going to read verses 14 through 15. That's it. And then we can be seated. Hallelujah. Did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to Jude 14 through 15. Well, we'll read together. And let's read. It says, "Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints." Wow. For what? To have a party? Huh? So we can have a picnic? So that we can celebrate the Super Bowl? No, to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them and all their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way, and all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. May the Lord have a blessing to the reader's word. You may be seated. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, bless your word now, God. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. Saints, the day of the Lord will be the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he comes, as we just read in Jude, he will execute judgment on the earth. The judgment will be the war of Armageddon. And when it comes, it will be on the feast of Yom Kippur. Again, there's going to be specific correlation with the feast of the Lord. And it'll be on Armageddon. And it's a war of all wars. Now, did you know there are thousands and thousands and thousands of people in Syria now from all over the nation ready to do war? Could it be the World War III? We don't know. But Russia, just this past week, just did their war games with 300,000 soldiers and tanks and planes. And also, they have jets flying up in Alaska spying us out. Matter of fact, last week they were chased out of our airspace by us. So what are they up to? I'm telling you, something's about ready to bust loose. And all we're just worried about what President Trump said yesterday. They're not telling us what's really going on. Because if you were to look at all the world news, look at the news around the world, not just our news, it says that war is building up. I mean, there's going to be a war ready to bust out. And so we need to be about our Father's business. I said it last week. Where is the safest place to be? And then everyone was saying, Israel. And it got all geographical. No, the best place to be and the safest place to be is in the center of God's will. Is to be close to the Lord. Why? Because he's our strong tower. Can I get an amen? He will put a shield about us. If you're walking and living right up before him, he will protect you. Can I get an amen? It's his responsibility to care for his children. And so, saints, we need to look at the last three fall feasts that are going to be prophetically fulfilled. In Leviticus 23:2, it says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel and say to them concerning the feast of the Lord, which shall be to proclaim a holy convocation. Even these are my feasts." So I need you to get this clear. I know our Jewish friends, they go through the whole seven feasts, and we found out what? It's a dress rehearsal. They do it repeatedly, repetitively, but they do not see Christ in it. They don't. They're the Bible says that their eyes are blinded, their ears are plugged up. They don't see Christ in it. But we do. Can I get an amen? And so the feast of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocation, even these are my feasts. And so you have to take two words that I have underlined, feasts and convocations. Feast is not hometown buffet, okay? It's not all you can eat bar, or there's another one when you go, we stop in there sometimes when we go up to Temecula. What's it called? That one. But it's not about food. It's about a celebration of the Lord. And they belong to the Lord. It says, they are my feast. He says, they are my feast. They don't belong to the Jews. They don't belong to us. They belong to the Lord. Can I get amen? The word Hebrew for feast is also moed, meaning appointed times. It's a prophetic time. And so we have to get our mindset. We have to look at God's calendar. This is why once a month you get a calendar for us and you'll see it. We mix together the Gregorian calendar and the Hebrew calendar so we can see God's calendar at the same time. Can I get amen? The Hebrew root for convocation is mikra, meaning a dress rehearsal. So this Wednesday, they're going to be using this place. It's their one day throughout all the Jewish religion that they're going to fast and pray. Just that one day. I think someone told me this morning in prayer, some of them go and they go to a pond and they throw bread out in the lake and they have the pigeons eat, and that we're getting rid of our sins. Really? Wow. Don't you wish it was that easy? Huh? So I asked Brother Eagle, which religious book is the show? Talks about that one. Oh my gosh. We all know that it's the blood of Jesus that takes away the sins. Can I get amen? Hallelujah. So look, we got to go back to this chart again. Passover, Nisan 15, Jesus died on Passover in the Word of God. Read the Gospels. He died on Passover. That is a prophetic first festival, the feast of Passover. Then he's buried in the tomb. Unleavened bread they celebrate. Unleavened means a type of no sin. So Jesus was buried without any sin. And then on the third day, he rose again on their third festival, which is called the Feast of First Fruits. He was the first to rise from the dead. 50 days later, hallelujah, the Holy Ghost is poured out on what? Pentecost. Read the book of Acts. And then the day had fully come. What day? Pentecost. On the Feast of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost was poured out. And so when you look at Pentecost, the trumpets, it's been now 2,000 years. Why do they celebrate in the spring and then fall they pick it up? Because in between that time, it's called harvesting. So God, for 2,000 years, have been harvesting souls unto him. And you and I are part of that harvest. Can I get amen? Jesus came in looking for you and I. He gave us the mind to be saved. He gave us a heart to repent. Hallelujah. He gave us the privilege to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I get amen? And so we're reading that in trumpets last week, many different things will take place. We don't know what year. I was hoping, Lord, I'm ready. If you're going to come within those 2 days, I'm ready. I was asked my wife, I'm ready, Lord. I'm ready to go. But he's going to call us home in his time. Can I get amen? But we're going to focus now on Yom Kippur. There's a significant, that's a significant day. Because what we're going to see is that that's when the judgment is poured out on this world. And he's going to do it on Yom Kippur. You know why? Because it's also known as the Feast of Atonement. So we're going to be redeemed. Did you know that God has placed a deposit in you? That deposit is the Holy Spirit. So he gave us a deposit. Hallelujah. Knowing that he's going to come back and redeem us right back. And when he redeems us, we're going to have a body just like his. Hallelujah. So the Holy Ghost he gave us, man, that's to worship him and praise him and to hold on and wait for his second return. I can't wait. Hallelujah. Tabernacles, we'll talk about that in a week or so, because tabernacles is the culmination of all the seven feasts. That's where mankind now can tabernacle with God face to face on into eternity. How many can't wait to tabernacle with God? Right now, we're having fellowship with the Holy Ghost. Praise God. But to see Jesus face to face and he's in the midst of us, man, that will take place at the Feast of Tabernacles. Man, I can't wait. So, just to get you caught up, and once a year, we always talk about this, but there's a significance for the last three feasts. Number one, the Feast of Trumpets is repentance, the Feast of Yom Kippur is redemption, and the Feast of Tabernacles is rejoicing. Did you know, in order to be saved, you first must what? Repent. If you can see the spiritual significance, repent, we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and then we rejoice because we have fellowship with God now. We've been reconciled to the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So let's look at Leviticus here. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, also on the 10th day of this month shall be the day of a what? Atonement. It's all about the blood. God always uses the blood. Aren't you so blessed? Hallelujah. We didn't have to bring in no goats and bulls in here. It was the Lord Jesus Christ once and for all. It shall be a holy convocation to you. You shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by the fire of the Lord. So that's what they do on Yom Kippur. The Jews, they afflict their souls. Man, I can't eat all day. Some of them can't even make it. But they do it religiously. They have no connection with God. It's all religious. They do it every year as a dress rehearsal. But this Wednesday, the 10th day on the 7th month, is Tishri 10, which is on our calendar this year, October 12, 2016. Wait, wait. No, I got that wrong. It's September. What's today's date? Today is the 7th. 16th. So, yes, I forgot to change it, but it is this Wednesday. You have it on your calendar in your bulletin. Amen? Thank you, God. But now look at this. The word atonement comes from the Hebrew root kafar, which means to cover. How many believe that you're covered by the blood of the Lamb? Look at this. Think of the terms of a credit card which covers the expense you've incurred until the real payment can be made. Did you catch that? So when the real payment is made, then it's what? Basically redeemed. So God has covered us through his blood. Hallelujah. By faith. Can I get an amen? By faith. Thank you, Lord. Man, God is so good. Now, when John the Baptist, when he saw the Lord coming, this is what he saw. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, what? The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Hallelujah. So he saw the Lamb of God. He saw what was going to atone for us. His primo. His first cousin. Remember, when he was in his mother's womb, he leaped. Hallelujah. He was the only child recorded in the Bible that was filled with the Holy Ghost in his mother's womb, John the Baptist. Man, wouldn't you love to come out? Ooh, hallelujah. Man, just pray. Man, coming out of that womb, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, God. Man, some of us, man, we were knuckleheads for so many years. It took 30 of my first years to get it right. But man, John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Ghost in his mother's womb. So when he came out, years later, he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. No longer covered, but taken away. Isn't that something? See, here's the thing. The Old Testament just temporarily covered you. You had to keep coming back. Always, repeatedly, once a year, once a year, once a year. But when Jesus came, it was once and for all. Can I get amen? He said on the cross, it is finished. What was finished? The redemption plan. Hallelujah. That's right. The Word of God tells us right here in Hebrews, look at this. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you do not desire. Man, just imagine, every year, they had a pool of a big old bull that didn't want to go. And man, they would say, man, someone has to prod the back because that thing sensed death. Because as it was getting close to the altar, all the blood was over there. Those animals sensed death. They were coming there, and they were being pulled. It says, sacrifice an offering you did not desire, because it was work to do. But a body you have prepared for me. Hallelujah. Aren't you so blessed? The Lord Jesus Christ was prepared for you and I. Thank you, God. It'd be a bloody mess here if we had to keep doing that. Thank you, Lord. God had a better way, didn't he? Look at it in verse 6 here. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come in the volume of the book. From Genesis to Revelation, it's all about Jesus. It's all about the Lord. Everything's about Jesus. And the book of Revelation is revealing who he is to mankind. Can I get amen? Because he came in the volume of the book. Because he said it was written of me. Look at this. To do your will, O God. Previously saying sacrifice and burnt offerings and offerings for sin you did not desire nor had pleasure with them which are offered according to the law. So they were doing it religiously. There we go. They probably had to bring a religious book with them too. He did everything religiously. And they hated it. It was drudgery to them. And look what he says. And then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first that he may establish the second. By that we have been what? Sanctified through the offering of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, aren't you so blessed, saints? He did it for you. Years and years and years ago, before you were even conceived in your mother's womb, he already thought about you. Did you know that? Before he spoke the world into existence, he had you in mind. That's the mind of God. That's how awesome he is. That's how glorious he is. Hallelujah. He had us in mind. So saints, the Day of Atonement was a gracious day each year when all the Israelites would experience a new beginning. The day foreshadows God's plan for the final disposition of sin and the creation of a new earth and righteousness dwells. How many can't wait for that day? That's right. Look what 2 Peter says here. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Right now, righteousness does not dwell around the world. There's so much corruptness. Now, there's righteous people, but the whole world's theme is not righteous. Can I get amen? We still live in a fallen world. And the world, the Bible says, the earth, it moans and groans for a change. It don't want to stay in that predicament anymore. It's moaning for a change. Hallelujah. Your body's is moaning for a change. Can I get amen? You don't want to stay forever in this state. No, you want that new body that's coming. Hallelujah. Where you can appear and then disappear. Hallelujah. Where you can be there and over there in a blink. Hallelujah. That's what Jesus did. And guess what? He even ate with them. Hallelujah. That lets me know he didn't do away with food up there. Man, I'm telling you, when you get that new body, you're going to be blown away. So let's compare Yom Kippur feast as we find in Leviticus with the book of Revelation. It correlates together. It goes hand in hand. We'll look particularly at what this awesome, holiest day of the year is about. For the Jewish mind, And all the way around the world, it's the most holiest day is this Wednesday, Yom Kippur. And they don't do too much celebration because they look at it as a sombering thing. Oh, I'm fasting. Oh, I'm praying. Man, I'm telling you, when they get a revelation of who Jesus is, man, we can worship him every day. We can fast anytime. Can I get amen? Why? Because God has established his president in us now. He has birthed in us, hallelujah, the new life. Man, and we can understand the things of God. So let's look at this. We got to look back to look ahead. In Leviticus, thus Aaron shall come into the holy place with the blood of a young bull as a sin offering and as a ram and a burnt offering. He shall put the holy linen tunic and the linen trousers on his body. He shall be girded with the linen sash and with the linen turban he shall be attired. These are holy garments, therefore he shall wash his body in water and put on them. You're going to start connecting the dots here right now. Look at verse 5. And he shall take from the congregation of the children of Israel two kids of the goats as a sin offering and one ram as a burnt offering. Aaron shall offer the bull as a sin offering, which is for himself, and make atonement for himself and for his house. He shall take the two goats and present them before the Lord and the door of the tabernacle of the meeting. Okay. So now, let's look at verse 33 here. Then he shall make atonement for the holy sanctuary, and he shall make atonement for the tabernacle of the meeting and for the altar, and he shall make atonement for the priest and for all the people of the assembly. Notice they had to do all kinds of religious things, but yet God commanded it that way. But it was a foreshadow. It was something that we could look back so that we can look ahead to see what Jesus was going to finally do for us. Can I get an amen? Saints, we discover is that the day when the nation of Israel was to be atoned for, the high priest would take off the royal garments and only have on white linen garments, which speaks of righteousness. Imagine having a white linen garment on you after slaughtering the sacrifices. Aren't you so blessed that we don't have to do that no more? So listen, let's make the connections now with Psalms, Leviticus, and Revelation. Right here in Psalms, let my prayer be set before you as incense, lifting up my hands as the evening sacrifice. You got to remember, when Jesus was hanging on the cross, remember right before he gave up his spirit, he said it was what? Finished. It was finished. He was the final. So you got to remember what took place. At 9 in the morning, they binded him to the altar on the cross. And at the same time, they were binding the lamb offering at the same time. So here you are, you're looking at Golgotha, and now you're looking at the temple, and at the same time, they were doing the sacrifice like they normally do on Passover. And yet, Jesus came, hallelujah. He interrupted time for you and I, that he would come on that day to be sacrificed as the Lamb of God. And so during that time, they were lifting up the evening sacrifice. Right as they slew the lamb, Jesus said, "It is over, it is finished," and he gave up his ghost. Hallelujah. Man, I'm telling you, when you tie it all in, it's like, oh my gosh, look at Leviticus. Then you shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from the altar before the Lord, which is the hands full of sweat, incense, beaten fine, and bring it inside the veil, and you shall put the incense on the fire before the Lord, and the cloud of incense may cover the mercy seat that is on the testimony, lest he die. Notice there was a mercy seat back then. Did you know that the original mercy seat is in heaven? And everything is replicated down here on earth. So God showed Moses a type of tabernacle that's already in heaven. But see, when Jesus died, he had to go up there and sprinkle his blood on the mercy seat once and for all. But they had to go through their religious connotations. Okay? And look at this now. He shall take some of the blood of the bull and sprinkle it with his finger on the mercy seat on each side. Before the mercy seat, he shall sprinkle some of the blood with his finger seven times. So they had to do all kinds of religious stuff. Look at this. Then he shall kill the goat of the sin offering, which is for the people, bring its blood inside the veil, do with the blood as he did with the blood of the bull, and sprinkle it on the mercy seat before the mercy seat. Look at that. Okay, verse 16. So he shall make atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel and because of their transgressions for all their sins. And so he shall do for the tabernacle of the meeting, which remains among them in the midst of their uncleanness. Now, fast forward several thousands of years. As the promise had come, the Lord Jesus Christ. And look what God has done for you and for me. It's in Revelation. Then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. And he was given much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. Listen, right now, around the world, the saints, hallelujah, are praying that Jesus would return. Why would he return? To redeem us back. Hallelujah. God has put his down payment within us, the Holy Ghost. But man, I'm telling you, it's all about redemption. Yom Kippur is about atonement. And Yom Kippur is when Jesus finally comes and will be pulled out of here, and he's got to bring his wrath down. Man, I'm telling you, when you get a hold of this, look at this, in verse 4, and the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints, that's you and I, the saints are praying, ascended before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer filled with fire from the altar and threw it to the earth. And there were noises, thundering, lightnings, and an earthquake. Man, I'm telling you, things will take place. Verse 6, so the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. Saints, here in Revelation was a divine appointment happening in the year and on the feast day of Yom Kippur service. This is the Yom Kippur service that God is going to pour out and do these things. This event will happen some year. We don't know what year, but it'll happen on that second to the last festival. Because God's an on-time God. Can I get an amen? He does everything on his appointed time, not ours. Thank you, Lord. That's right. Look what it says in Revelation 6:9 now. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar of the souls those who had been slain for the word of God and for their testimony which they held. Did you know? Just in the past 5 years, there had been over 1 million slaughtered in Iraq. Children torn and sunder in front of their parents. All of them, their bodies were beheaded because they would not renounce Christ. Right now as we speak around the world, they're getting persecuted and they're being slaughtered. And we look at this and we're going, oh my gosh. They're up there crying out to God, oh God, when are you going to bring your indignation? Let's read on. It says, look, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Not just recent, but throughout time in the past, all those who were persecuted, the times of the apostles. They were persecuted. Many of them were thrown into the lion's den. Many of them were burnt alive. But it hasn't changed in 2,000 years. The church is still being persecuted. Look at this. And they cried with a loud voice saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? That lets us know there's a time of judgment coming. Because the indignation hasn't been poured out yet. God knows when he's going to do it. And look in verse 11 here. Then a white robe was given to each of them. And it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they as they were was completed. In other words, okay, there's a number, only God knows, around the world, those who are still going to be killed for the cause of Christ. It hasn't ended yet. If you preach the gospel in Iran, you can rest assured your head's lopped off the next morning. You go to places in China, you preach the gospel, you can make sure you're gone. Never heard of again. But heaven knows who you are. Thank you, God. Saints, the prophet Isaiah shouted aloud the same prophetic word that God was going to atone us and redeem us by his blood. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Look at this. Who is this who comes from Edom, from the city of Bozrah, with his clothing stained in red? In the book of Revelation, the Bible says that the robe that Jesus wears, it's going to say the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, but it's dipped in blood. Why is his robe dipped in blood? Huh? We'll talk about that just in a bit. Look at this. Who is, it says, with his clothing stained red. Who is this? The royal robes marching in his great strength. It is I, the Lord, announcing your salvation. Can I get an amen? It is I, the Lord, who has the power to save. Why are your clothes so red as if you have been treading out grapes? Why? Why is his robe so red? Because when he comes and brings war against the nations, he's going to mop everything up. And he's going to mop everything up in their blood. And the nation's blood will be on his robe because he's going to bring vengeance when he pours out his judgment. Oh, I know you didn't want to hear this message. Uh-uh. You can check to see what the score is later. Look at verse 3. I have been treading the winepress alone. No one was there to help me. In my anger, I have trampled my enemies as if they were grapes. In my fury, I have trampled my foes. Their blood has stained my clothes. Hallelujah. This is the robe that's on the Lord Jesus Christ. For the time has come for me to avenge my people, to ransom them from their oppressors. Who are the oppressors? Is the whole entire demonic forces of hell. Oh, sleuth with himself and all his dominions have been playing havoc on God's created beings. Can I get amen? And God's going to do away with them once and for all. Thank you, Lord. We will be redeemed and we will be like him. How many can't wait? Hallelujah. Well, guess what? On the Day of Atonement, God is going to rectify everything. Revelations 19:2. Look at this. For true and righteous are his judgments, because he has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication, and he has avenged on her the blood of his servants shed by her. Wow. Wow. God's going to avenge all of our enemies. This is why, even if you have personal enemies, just pray for them. Hush up. Don't take anything in your own actions. Stay humble before the Lord. Can I get amen? He will fight your battle. You won't have to say anything. They could falsely persecute you. They could falsely talk about you. They could say all kinds of manner of iniquity about you. Just stay hush. And let the Lord fight your battle. Because he will destroy your enemies. Can I get amen? Oh, yes, he will. Yes, he will. Look at this. He in Revelation. So now, this has yet to happen. It hasn't happened yet, right? Because we're not living in paradise with him yet. Can I get an amen? So Revelation 19, look at that. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood. This is the Lord Jesus. See, we read a foreshadow, and now we're looking ahead to what is about to take place. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, follow him on white horses. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What's the name of your horse? I hope mine is called Trigger. Right. Yeah. All I know is we're going to be on white horses with him. That's what the Word of God says. Does your Bible say that? Huh? The saints of God will be with him. Why? Because look, the time of taking us out before the indignation falls on the earth, we will be with him. Last week we talked about the celebration of the marriage supper of the Lamb, of the coronation of the king. All these things that will take place on the Feast of Trumpets, somewhere down the years to come. We don't know when. But when he finally comes to bring wrath, we're coming with him. Look at this. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. What? Thank you, God. Remember that, I don't know, maybe I'm going a little too far back. You guys used to watch Roy Rogers and Dell Evans? They always rode on some horses. Where's Sister Yvonne? She goes once a year to go ride horses. What's the name of your horse? Trigger. It's Trigger, huh? Man, you took that name from me. Now listen. We're going to be with him, and this is what he's going to do on Yom Kippur. Right here, look at this. Now, out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations. He hasn't struck the nations yet. They're still mounting their armies to try to demolish one another. And that's why Jesus said in the book of Matthew, he must come unless no flesh will be spared. Why? Because everyone's nuked up now. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the wine presses of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Can I get an amen? And guess what? We'll be with him. Hallelujah. Just slow your roll. Hold on. It's going to be soon. We will be with him. That's a promise. Can I get an amen? Thank you, Lord. Saints, once again, we must look at the correlation of Leviticus, Revelation, to see the prophetic significance. Look at this. Let's go back to Leviticus. So he shall make atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel and because of their transgressions for all their sins. So he shall do for the tabernacle of the meeting. I needed you to get a hold of this. This was a foreshadow that 2,000 years ago, Jesus shed his blood for us. Hallelujah. That we would enter in to the story. That God will allow us to enter in. Hallelujah. To a place to be with him. How many can't wait to be with him? Come on. Listen. Don't have anything on this earth tie you and hold you down. You know why? Because it's here but for a moment. The Bible declares that our life is like a vapor. It's here today and gone tomorrow. What you holding on that you can't just surrender to God? Say, Lord, I give you my all, Lord. I give you my everything. Amen. Let your will be done in my life. Can I get amen? Amen? And I see God doing mighty things in your lives. Wonderful things. Look at verse 17. There shall be no man in the tabernacle of the meeting when he goes to make atonement in the holy place. That's what Jesus did. That's what Jesus did for us. It was a foreshadow, a type. Oh, yes. Look what it says in Revelation. The temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no one was able to enter the temple. The seven plagues of the seven angels were completed. No one was. But the only one that could enter into that temple in heaven was Jesus. Only he could. So did you catch that in Leviticus? Only the high priest could go in there? Well, Jesus now is our high priest. You got to tie this all in to get a full understanding. Saints, the great, terrible day of the Lord will be on the feast of Yom Kippur. God will smite all of his enemies on that feast day. Why? Because the first four were prophetically fulfilled. The last three, he's going to bring them to pass. It's going to be clockwork to him. We just don't know what year. But it's going to be clockwork. Why? Because if he completed the first four, do you believe he'll complete the last three? Oh, yes, he will. Look at this. Zechariah. Behold, the day of the Lord is coming, and your spoil will be divided in your midst, for I will gather all the nations to battle against Jerusalem. And so as we speak, all the nations around Israel now want to drive them into the sea. They hate Israel. Why do they hate Israel? Because it's a matter of the book. It's a matter of the book. They believe their God is God. I'm talking about the Muslims. They believe Allah is God. And so they hate the people of the book, of the Bible. And that's why there's a clash. There's always going to be a clash. Because we know the God we serve is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at this. He's going to gather all against Jerusalem. They shall be taken, the houses rifled, and the women ravished. Half the city shall go into captivity, but the remnant of the people shall not be cut off from the city. This will take place because Matthew said it will take place. Revelation said it's going to take place. This was something that was down the road. So we're looking back to look ahead. Can I get an amen? And every prophecy of the Word of God has come true. Every one of them. There, not one can you read and say, well, no. Everything that has come to pass has come to pass that was prophesied. Look at this. Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations. And he fights in the day of battle. And in the day his feet shall stand on the Mount of Olives. When we were in Israel, you remember we were standing on the Mount of Olives. And we said to one another, somewhere in this region, when he comes back again, he's going to put his feet on the Mount of Olives. Can I get an amen? We don't know what year, but he's going to do it. And Zechariah said he's going to fall right on the Mount of Olives. Look at this. And in that day his feet shall stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall be split in two. And from east to west, making a very large valley. Half the mountain shall be removed toward the north, and half of it toward the south. When we were there with Rabbi Jonathan Kahn, he kind of gave us a preview of what was going to split and how it was going to be. And then the river of water that was going to come, it was going to reach the Dead Sea. And then fish were going to come alive in the Dead Sea where nothing lives right now. All that is about ready to take place. Can I get an amen? You don't believe this, do you? Look at Revelation 1:7. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye shall see him, even they who pierced him. So when he finally comes back to see Rabbi and his friends, they're going to go, it is Yeshua. Why? He's going to show them his nail-pierced hands. He's going to show them his feet, hallelujah, that were pierced. He's going to show them the side where they thrust a sword in. He's going to show them that it was me, Yeshua, the Lord Jesus Christ, the whole time. You were chasing after one that had already come. They believe their Messiah hasn't come yet. We keep telling them, no, he's coming, he's coming again. Look at this. And the earth will mourn because even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Man, when he comes, it's going to be, man, I'm telling you, the people on this earth that have forsaken him, man, the Bible says they're going to say, hide us from underneath the rocks, because they're going to see the Lamb of God. And they're going to be so fearful when they see him. Why? Because they're going to remember when their grandmother used to tell them about Jesus. When their neighbor used to tell them about Jesus. When their co-worker told them about Jesus. When you've been telling them about Jesus and they forsook the Lord. They're going to be terrified at that time. Hallelujah. But he's going to come. Look at this. Now, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. Just be thankful, saints, that we're in the camp of the Lord Jesus Christ now. Can I get an amen? How many are so blessed to know you're on Jesus' side now? Come on, we were in the enemy's camp for a long time. Some of you didn't want to let that life go. Oh no, I'm missing it out here. And there's some that get saved, and then they look back at Egypt like, man, I had it good out there. Why am I struggling right now? Because God's now letting you depend on him solely now. Yeah, the devil can give you all kinds of things to lure you away. But God will let you go through trials and tribulations, and he'll let you cry out to him. Then he will come in, hallelujah, and take care of you. Can I get amen? You heard my testimony, what he did for me. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. He's a mighty God. Look at this. Look. When he comes on Yom Kippur, the book of Joel spelled it out. Look at this. Proclaim this among the nations. Prepare for war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of the war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Hallelujah. Assemble and come, all you nations, and gather together all around, because you're mighty ones to go down there. Oh, Lord, let the nations be awakened and come to the Valley of Jehoshaphat. Remember where the Valley of Jehoshaphat is? We were there. That's the Valley of Armageddon. When we were on top of Mount Carmel, the Valley of Armageddon, it was so vast. We're going, now you can see why the armies will gather there. And right in the middle of the Valley of Armageddon is the Israeli Air Force underneath. It opens up, man, and the fire, the jets come out like bees. Vroom, vroom, vroom. They're all coming after her, just like the Bible says. Look at this. Put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come down. The winepress is full. The vats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon will grow dark, and the stars will diminish their brightness. There are going to be signs in heaven when you know Jesus is about to come. Look at this. The Lord also will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. The heavens and the earth will shake, but the Lord will be a shelter for his people and all the strength of the children of Israel. This is why I'm saying, stay in the center of God's will. Amen. Be close to the Lord. Be close to them, closer than you could ever come close to him. Can I get amen? Because he will be our helper in the time of need. And look at this. So you shall know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then Jerusalem shall be holy, and no alien shall ever pass through her again. Wow. The great day of the Lord is coming. It's coming, and it's coming on Yom Kippur. Look at this. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hastens quickly. The noise of the day of the Lord is bitter. There the mighty men shall cry out. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of devastation and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. Man, I'm telling you, I am so blessed that we are not part of that indignation. Can I get an amen? This is the way these old timers could describe it. But man, it's going to be a hideous day. They're going to wish that they never lived. They're going to cry out to die. My goodness. But that day is coming. Saints, it doesn't get any more gloomier for the inhabitants on the earth who have rejected the grace of God and the love of God through Christ Jesus. Jesus came to save us from this horrible day. Are we prepared to meet the King? But right now, as we speak, how many people can you remember just recently, maybe sharing the gospel with? And how many people do you know right now that still don't want nothing to do with the Lord? Yeah, right, he's coming. Oh, yeah, you guys been saying that for years. Yeah, right, yeah. You know what? When he shows up, just call me and I'll come visit him. You don't want to wait for that day. Listen, Peter instructed us. And he told us what was coming. And how many believe the word of God? How many believe the word of God? Now, let me ask you this question. Has this planet been melted away yet? Huh? Has the fire come and destroyed this planet yet? It hasn't yet, has it? But how many believe God's word that it will happen? Look at Peter. Knowing this, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust and saying, hey, where is the promise of his coming? See, I got word to back it up what I'm saying here. Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Yeah, all right, preacher, just hurry up and get done so I can go home. Yeah, he's coming, yeah. Okay, he's coming. Yeah, he is coming. Look at this. For this they will willfully forget that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished by the flood. So for 110 years, Noah kept telling people, get in the boat, get in the boat, because God's going to flood the earth because of the wickedness. And they all laughed at Noah. They all mocked Noah. But Peter said it like this, by which the world that then existed perished being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. So this next time is going to be through fire. I don't want to be in that parade, do you? When he finally comes, and now I'm going to burn this whole thing up with fire. I'm not going to flood it no more. You know the rainbow flag? It was a promise, a covenant to man, I won't flood the earth again. So he's not going to use water this time, but he's going to use fire next time. Look at this. Reserved for the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. This is the grace of God. For 2,000 years, he's saying, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Hallelujah. He's been crying out for this world to repent, repent, repent. And you and I, we've been saved by his grace. Can I get amen? Amen. We heard the call. Hallelujah. But there are many more that haven't heard. Will they hear? We don't know that. But we can't give up on them, right? Because this is what's going to take place. Right up here. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. He's not coming as a thief like we think he's coming like a thief. He's letting us know the times that we're living in. He's letting us know that he's coming soon. He's talking about the ungodly, the unbelieving. He's going to come like a thief to them. All of a sudden, their life is going to be totally interrupted. Everything is going to stop right there. And now they're going to have to deal with the moment forevermore. Look at this. He's going to come as a thief in the night, which the heavens will pass away with a great noise. And the elements will melt with what? Fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in will be burned up. My goodness, it won't be a flood this time. It's going to be by fire. And this is why we won't be part of that party. Aren't you so blessed? There's an old saying, don't get caught with your pants down. Don't you be in the clubs shaking your groove thing, and bam, here he is. Oh, yeah. Listen, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise. Man, he's going to bring this, and it's going to come from heaven with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Well, God is saying, how is your life right now before him? Is it walking right up before him? Or are you still mingling with the devil? Are you still out there partying? Still drinking? Still doing all these things that God says is an abomination to me? Still going in and out of bedrooms? Huh? Still, I need one more. He's going to come, and he's going to come like a thief to those who are not looking. I know this is not a popular message, but this is what's going to take place on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. That's going to be the second of the last feast being fulfilled. God is getting his church ready. Can I get an amen? It's time to get right or get left. It's not a political jargon. It's being right with Christ or get left behind. It's time to take off the wannabe badges and put on the righteousness of Christ by faith. Can I get amen? It's time to get right before him. It's time to cry out and say, oh God, don't let me perish in my sin. Let me be right before you, God. Let me cry out before you, God. Let me confess these ungodly things to you, oh God. Hallelujah. Because I don't want to be burned up in all that badness. Therefore, since all these things will, say that with me, will be dissolved. Then say, well, you know, maybe. Maybe I'll have mercy. No. Why does God judge? Because you have to go back to the Garden of Eden. When sin entered into the world, death came into the world. So what he wants to destroy, not only sin, but death finally. So that when he creates that new heaven and a new earth, oh my gosh. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I can't wait for that moment. I can't wait. How many can't wait for that moment? And so look at this. Looking. He wants his look. Look. Look with your spiritual eyes. Don't look with your natural eyes. You're not going to see it in the natural. You got to put on your spiritual glasses to see this. Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, which righteousness shall dwell. Can I get an amen? That's the promise for us, that will walk rightly before him in a walk of obedience. Can I get an amen? And so in closing, saints, the Lord will not return until Judah repents. They will repent during the great tribulation. Yes, they will. They're going to cry out. And that's why we read in Zechariah, they're going to go, oh man, it is him. Look, the nail-pierced hands. It is God. And some of them are going to cry out and say, God, forgive me for not believing you. And some are still going to dip right into hell. Help us, God. Because in Hosea says, For I will be like a lion to Ephraim and a young lion to the house of Judah. I will tear them and go away. I will take them away and no one shall rescue. I will return again to my place till they acknowledge their offense. He's talking about Israel now. Then they will seek my face, and in their affliction they will earnestly then seek me. He's got to do that. He's got to wake them up. This is why he's allowing all the armies to gather right now. They're gathering. They're gathering. They're gathering right underneath our nose. So if you don't have any knowledge about that, just, you know, Google around the world and look at the news clips that they're gathering. The armies are gathering. Europe said war is about to take place. China said war is about to take place. Russia is saying war is about to take place. And over here, we're talking about, okay, what's Trump going to do today? What? War's about to happen. And we still playing around. Lord, help us. Help us. And if you haven't repented on things, man, I'm calling for the altar to be open today. Come on up and just cry out. Listen, none of us need to know your junk in the trunk. Just come up and say, God, cleanse me, wash me, forgive me. No one need to know what you've done. God already saw what you've done. He's saying, confess those things to me and allow me to wash you and cleanse you and put you right back on the path. Can I get an amen? Amen. Listen, we live in bodies that fail us. We live in bodies that miss the mark. We live in bodies that still war against the Spirit of Christ that's living in us. So we're not going to be perfect until the perfect one comes and makes us perfected. But we got a voice, we got a conscience, we got a soul to cry out when we've done wrong, and we could cry out to God. How many believe that God is a God of mercy? I close with this scripture right here. Look at this in Revelation. I need you to catch this. If anything I said today, catch this, because this hasn't happened yet, but it will happen. Revelation is the final revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's the prophetic steps that's going to happen in the near future. I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. I'll be preaching this on the last feast, the Feast of Tabernacles, when we can rejoice. We'll be just like him, and we will live in heavenly bliss forevermore with the Lamb of God. But look at this. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. How many can't wait? Hallelujah. Remember, he's giving you the down payment, his Holy Spirit that's living in you. That's the promise that he's coming back for us. Thank you, God. Look at this. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, no crying. There should be no more pain. Thank God that I got relief from my feet. Thank God. But the pain was, man, intolerable. There's people that you know right now that are laid up in hospitals because they're in such pain. God is going to do away with pain. I can't wait to have that body pain free. Can I get an amen? Look at this. For the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. Say that with me. All things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. How many believe God's word? That he's going to make all things new. That's right. And he's doing it because he loves you. He died for us. Can I get amen? And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of water of life freely to him who thirsts. This is why, man, because you're filled with the Holy Ghost. Man, you just want more of him. You want more of God. Oh, Lord, hallelujah. I want more of you, God. Fill my cup overflowing, God. Hallelujah, that the joy of the Lord will be my strength. Hallelujah, that when I lay hands on the sick, they will recover. When I speak the word, hallelujah, souls will get saved, sanctified, get filled with the Holy Ghost, get water baptized in Jesus' name. God wants to use us mightily. Can I get an amen? I will give of the fountain of water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. And sisters, daughters too. That's right. Sons and daughters. Can I get an amen? Amen? Now, last one. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable. You know what? When you do abominable, that's people that created the third bathroom, that believe that same-sex marriages are natural. That's an abomination of God. Now, God can save them. Can I get an amen? Amen. And he wants to save them, but they must repent. Amen. But the abominable, the murderers, the sexual immoral. You know what the sexual immoral is? Those men, all they want to do is go in and out of bedrooms. Cheaters. Sorcerers. You know what sorcerers are? We think it's Merlin the magician with his wand. These are drug addicts. Because the word sorcery is pharmakia. And it comes from the word pharmacy. These are people that are strung out and drugged out, smoking and drinking and doing all kinds of iniquity. Idolaters, putting things in front of God instead of putting God first. And all liars. You better watch out what you say. You better say the truth. And if you can't say the truth, don't say nothing. Don't incriminate yourself. Because God listens to all. But look at this. All these folks, he got it all clumped up, shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. What? This is the real deal here. I know you didn't come this morning to hear this. But when we get to the feast, we have to talk about them. I really believe God is giving us an opportunity just to cry out to God. Can I get an amen? I'm going to ask everyone to stand. I feel God saying, that if we could make our way down just to the altar, we're all just gonna pray. We're all gonna pray.
If you're listening right now on the internet, and maybe you just were surfing the net, you came across Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, and you're hearing this message right now, and you may not even know who Jesus is, I'm gonna ask you right now to pray with me. That God will show himself mighty to you. He will come and visit you right now by faith. Pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I thank you. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I do believe that you died for me. I believe, God, that the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. And on the third day, you rose again to give me life and life more abundantly. Lord Jesus, forgive me now, God, of all my sins. Come into my heart and make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I'll do my best to serve you, Lord, all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed this prayer by faith, God, through the authority of his word, has saved you. I pray that you would find a Bible-believing church and that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of our sermons, all of our notes, all of our PowerPoints are free at charge. Just download them from your computer. And be blessed.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.